This is the Careering into Motherhood podcast with me, Jane Johnson. My guest today is Jen Smollett. Jen is a former nurse, paediatric nurse, who, when she got married with her wife, they decided they wanted to adopt. She talks today about the lengthy process that they went through, the values and the attributes that got them both through what was a really lengthy and somewhat arduous process. But they're now a very happy family with their two daughters. Jen, welcome. I'm really excited to have you on the podcast today. Not only are you one of our brilliant career coaches, I think we first met a few months ago and we were talking about your route to parenting, because you're an adoptive parent, which you and your wife adopted two little girls, haven't you now? I think it's really important that we have conversations around some of the more difficult topics, which it's not always that everyone just gets pregnant, goes on maternity leave and comes back, or doesn't, as the case may be. So I'm really, really happy to have you on the podcast. So I guess if we could start, where were you in your career when you started thinking about having children? I mean, was it something you and your wife had discussed way back when you first met? Was it always on the cards, I guess, that you wanted to have children?
Yeah, it was always on the cards for me, and it was always on the cards for my wife as well. Separately, we both just knew that. And when we first got together, we both knew that about each other. But of course, when you're in a same-sex relationship, there are many routes to parenthood. We could have tried a number of different ways. And actually, we both knew the way that we wanted to go, and we didn't know what the other person thought. And it's funny because we never quite touched on the conversation. And then one day we were like, we need to have this conversation. Actually, we need to kind of talk about how this is going to happen. So we had this really kind of funny experience of both of us being like, right, let's get a drink. Let's both go to the toilet. Let's do this, you know, set this whole
go to the toilet
scene.
First. Very important, as every mum will tell you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're nurses by background as well. So we're not used to looking after our own needs first. We sat down and had this conversation, and actually we said, you know, she was like, you go first. No, you go first. How are we going to do this? And actually we both said adoption. Adoption was the first choice for both of us. So we were like, oh, okay.
At least that conversation was easy. Yes.
Much easier than anticipated. Yeah. We both knew from before, and then from the beginning of our relationship, we knew that's what we wanted to do.
And at that time, you were both in nursing. So did you both have what I call PAYE, you were employed as nurses. Did you then put a timeline on it? Because it's not with, say, traditional contraception, people might say, right, let's start trying, and then it happens when it happens. I guess with adoption, the process is so long. Did you decide right now it might be the time to start making inquiries, or how did you go about that?
At that point, we both knew that we wanted to have children. We were living in London. We both knew we didn't want to live in London when we had a family. And we also were making plans to go traveling. We were going traveling around South America for a year. So we kind of put it to one side almost. We both know we want it, but we don't want it yet. So we went traveling. We came back. Talked about kids the whole time we were traveling. So came back and we were like, right, let's make this happen. We want this now. So then we moved up to Leicestershire, and actually we spoke to the local authority and said, look, we're really interested in adoption. Could you let us know the process? In hindsight, I don't know why we were so worried, but we were also worried about being a same-sex couple. We didn't know if we were going to be accepted or if that was okay. And actually, in hindsight, now we know there are actually many same-sex couples that go down this route through adoption. They said, how long have you been together? And at that point, we've been together for about 3 years, and they said it wasn't long enough. Honestly, it felt really quite crushing, because we were like, but we're ready. We've made this commitment. Yes. We know that we're ready.
Yeah.
But they kind of said that they wanted a five-year relationship before you start to go down the process of adoption.
Which is obviously totally understandable, given the immensity of what you're going to take on. How did you both handle the fact that you were going to have to wait?
We didn't take it brilliantly. It felt quite crushing. But actually, at the same time, it was one of those things where well, if that's how it is, then that's how it is. There's nothing we can do about it. So rather than almost get consumed by it, we decided, okay, well, then that's the plan, is to go back in 2 years. So that's what we did. And we got married in the meantime, which was obviously was wonderful. And then we went back to them at the time when we'd been together for 5 years and said, look, we're still interested. Can we get started? And the answer was yes.
Can I ask how long the process took? Obviously, it's all very personal and it's not the same in every local authority and all of these things. But, you know, you sort of done your time in inverted commas, proving that this was definitely something you wanted to go ahead. And then obviously thinking about the child or the children that you're going to adopt, there's a very lengthy process as far as I'm aware, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. There is. So probably from the point that we inquired to the point that we had our girls come home was about 3 years.
Was it?
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And it felt like a very long, long 3 years. We didn't realise it was going to take that long. We had no idea, actually. We were really quite naive. We didn't realise quite how hard the process was going to be. You know, in our eyes, we were both children's nurses by background. We've both got younger siblings. My wife's got even younger siblings. We've been around children all of our lives. We're kind of very used to children. We work with children. And we were quite naive to the process because as far as we could see it, we were ready. And willing and able. The social workers, of course, don't know that. And you can't say that and then they accept that that's the truth, you know, and move on. Actually, they have to do their full process of assessing you as potential adopters.
They're coming from the perspective of protection of the children.
Absolutely. And now I'm on the other side of it and I'm further along on the other side of it. I almost feel like there needed to be more information about just how hard it is, actually, and how challenging it is for us as well as for the children, because it's a big thing for them to experience as well. Our local authority, there's stage one and stage two. So you have a social worker for the first stage, which is basically just preliminary checks. You know, are we going to process you along this journey? And then the second stage is pretty much weekly meetings with the social worker where they delve into everything and anything about you, your childhood, your relationships, your past relationships, your family relationships, your career to date, and anything else significant in your life. At the beginning, I enjoyed it, but then as it kind of got deeper and further into the process, it felt harder.
How did you both keep strong mentally and from point of resilience on a day-to-day level when you're dealing with bureaucracy and being passed from pillar to post, and also all of these very, very personal questions? How did you both manage?
It's interesting you talk about resilience, because I work a lot around resilience now, and I think it comes from experiences, doesn't it? You know, we work in things that we've experienced ourselves, but the resilience, we drew on each other and we also drew on our families. We're very fortunate in having both of us have got supportive families who were completely and utterly behind us in our adoption journey. I don't think is the case for everybody, unfortunately, but for us, that was the case. That's what really, really helped.
And can I ask them about your employment context, how the conversation went around maternity leave? Did you do shared parental leave? How does it work as well, from speaking from a point of ignorance as an adoptive parent? Do you get the same maternity benefits and things as everyone else, or is it different?
Adoption leave is treated the same way as maternity leave. It's parental leave, I think, is a name that people are starting to refer to it as, but it's essentially the same. And at the time, I was an agency nurse. So that basically means that I didn't have payroll. Well, I was on payroll, but I had a 0 hours contract. So I was picking up shifts kind of as and when. So I didn't have adoption leave rights, but my wife did. So she was a full-time employee. So we knew that she was going to take adoption leave. And actually, we had both decided that we were both going to take time off together. So although I wasn't going to get paid, I was going to be off as well. We both took a year off. And actually, we kind of always wanted to do something like that. And then I obviously, I know you're aware, I won't go into the detail, but our girls have got a particularly, I mean, most children that are in adoption have got a challenging background, but our girls have got a particularly complicated background with extra things in there to the usual. And so we were supported by the local authority to have longer off together. So the adoption leave that my wife had from her company was extended by our local authority so that we could both have that full year because the local authority deems that as necessary. Now, that's not standard. The local authority isn't usually there to support you financially with adoption, but they did support us with adoption so that we could both have that long time with the girls to build our attachment and their bond and trust in us. So yeah, that was our unique situation, I think.
Yes. And can I ask, did both girls come to you at the same time?
They did. Yes. So they are sisters, they're siblings, and they both came to us at the same time.
And how old are they now?
Yeah, they are 8 and 5.
Of course, we accept that every single family is unique. No one is in the same situation. But anyone who might be listening to this and resonating with certain aspects of your story, I guess one or two pieces of learnt wisdom or advice would you offer?
So in terms of parenting, I'm going to come from an adoption parenting perspective. I would say that one thing to learn about and understand about is mindfulness. And the reason I say that is I had a journey of, after we'd adopted, I went through therapy because I was really struggling with being a good enough mum.
As in your sense of good enough?
My sense of good enough, absolutely. And actually, perhaps if I come back, that's probably the key point here, is recognizing and understanding in yourself what good enough parenting is. Good enough isn't mediocre. Good enough isn't average. Good enough is good to the level that you are doing parenting mostly in the way that you would like to. And I say mostly because the reality is nobody gets it perfect all of the time. Nobody. And I really, really wanted to be a perfect parent. You know, I felt like because of the adoption process, I had to be the perfect parent. You know, I'd spent ages proving I was going to be a perfect parent. And so I felt the need intensely to be the perfect parent. Coming back to the idea of being good enough and really spending time over a period of time learning and understanding what good enough parenting was to me really, really helped. And actually, it was probably over a year ago that I got to grips with what good enough was. I still have to constantly remind myself that good enough is good enough. Good enough is still good. So that would be my key advice. And then back to the second thing that I'd started to mention before, which is mindfulness. And I mean mindfulness from the sense of practicing and learning and understanding the skill of being able to control what you are paying attention to. That's an ability within yourself to be able to see and pay attention to what the experience is that you're having. I think this probably applies to all parents and leaders as well, and women in work. The ability to recognize what is happening, but also being able to focus on what matters most in that moment. So when there's a chaotic or a stressful or a, quite frankly, horrendous situation happening, whatever that is, the ability to be able to see what is happening, as well as the needs of the person that you're with, whether that be your child or somebody at work, as well as recognizing what your own needs are in that moment, as well as being able to bear in mind what your overall purpose is within that scenario, but also outside of that scenario, which would bring us back to our values and what matters most in life. To bring it back as an example, connection is absolutely vital in parenting. You know, it's a value that I hold dearly in my life, throughout my life. Parenting children that have been adopted, that have experienced trauma, they will very quickly go into shame. And if they go into shame, then they feel like they are bad and they don't deserve the connection with you. So actually, no matter what they've done, connection is what matters most. Even yesterday, there was a scenario with my daughter and something had happened And I said to her, I said, I am feeling very frustrated and very angry inside, but I want you to know I love you. I love you no matter what. And we're going to talk about this when mummy's calmed down.
Jen, I admire you hugely for being able to do that. And it's something that we, in my family recently, we've been trying to work on a bit more because we're a very small family, only three of us. And I think I expected more than my son. I expected more maturity of him than for his age. He's only eight. And I was failing to understand when I say, right, put your shoes on or clean your teeth, what else is going on in his, so that connection piece with him and his learned experiences and his view of the world, et cetera, was nowhere near as advanced as I had thought. And it was only, I had a session with someone and she was talking about this, I mean, she didn't use the term connection, but it is, it's connection, empathizing, trying to look at the world through his eyes. However, which all makes perfect sense, you know, when you're talking about it, especially with a coach. But I said to her, it's almost like having to relearn language and relearn the way at ripe old age of 48, I'm used to talking to people like we are now and saying, you know, okay, jump on the call at this time, press this button, do this, etc. And it happens. And having to relearn a way of communicating to somebody who doesn't see the world like that is really hard. I don't know how you found it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's where the mindfulness skill comes in and being able to be aware of, okay, the language that I want to use, the result that I want from this situation, as well as the connection, as well as what their need is. There are so many things that we need to be conscious and aware of in every single interaction with our children. And that's really hard. And I'd love to say I got it right all the time, but of course I didn't. And that's why the good enough parenting comes in, because sometimes get your shoes on is the only way to do it.
Exactly. Oh, you mentioned that you had some counselling or therapy, but in terms of learning these ways of communicating with your girls, especially because it's so important for every child, obviously the way that they're communicated to, but especially in adoption cases, do you do coaching now for parents in these situations?
I haven't done yet, and I do want to, but I think there's a part of me that recognizes that being in it and coaching in it are two very similar things, actually. And what I need to do to be able to do that is be in a place where I know that I can fully separate my experience from someone else's experience. You know, there's one thing having an experience of a similar situation, but there's another thing being in the emotion of it yourself. With that in mind, I'm saying that, and I feel like I'm reaching that point now where I could do that and I'm able to do that, but I haven't been there up until very recently. And so I wanted to be further down the journey myself before I can offer that support to others. But of course, I'm in that place now. I'm in a few different support groups that I'm hoping to let them know of the services that I can offer and support. I have a colleague who I've met through coaching, actually, who is also a coach, and she's also an adoptive parent. And the two of us have said, let's reconvene in 6 months. And this was about 6 months ago. And let's talk about what we can offer and what we can put out there with that experience. So that's something that's on the cards. At the minute, my coaching is focusing on women in leadership roles. But yeah, I think that move towards adoption as well and parenting will be something that slowly starts to percolate rather than me jumping in. But in terms of learning about those things and what's important, I think my coaching experience is definitely key. Mindfulness is something that I teach, and I was already teaching that. Values, I already knew about knowing my strengths. But the elements of communication with your child and seeing the need behind and underneath the behavior, that all came through education from the local authority, but also people that I follow on Instagram that actually aren't specifically adoption on Instagram, but I'm happy to share a couple of them with you as well if you want to pop them in the show notes for people to see. But yeah, resources and just reminders constantly of what we want to be aiming towards with our children. We call it therapeutic parenting in adoption, but really it's the same as conscious parenting or positive parenting, the kind of terms that most parents are looking at. My sister and I really lean on each other for our parenting. She had her daughter through conception, and she's parenting in a very similar way. Hers isn't through the adoption element, but it's just through wanting to parent in a way that is different to the generations before us, which is, yeah, important and hard.
You mentioned your leadership coaching. And clearly, I always think that as a parent, effectively what you are doing is demonstrating good or good enough leadership. So I guess if we could have just some thoughts on how you managed your career through the transition of adoption.
I think you're absolutely right. I think leadership at home and parenting is very similar and brings a lot of the same skills to leadership in the workplace. My advice always to leaders and parents is to understand yourself so that you can be consistently true to yourself. So authenticity is something that comes through so that you can be consistent in all of the decisions that you make, whether that be at work or at home. The consistency matters for our children, but actually it matters for people learning to trust us as well. So knowing and understanding who you are and what you bring to the role that you're doing is a vital starting point towards authentic leadership. You can learn about different leadership styles, but the best leadership style you can adopt is an authentic one, which is true to you, your authentic, unique leadership style.
Jen, I'm sure you didn't plan it like this, but it almost brings you back to your first point about good enough, because if you are being authentic and true to yourself, it will be good enough. It absolutely will be. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been really fascinating talking to you, and I really appreciate you coming on and being so open and honest. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I really want to thank Jen for her very honest views about what it was like to go through the adoptive process. Obviously, there are some very clear reasons why the process needs to be so long, so rigorous and arduous in some cases. But hearing it from the parents' perspective and talking very, very honestly about how that made them feel emotionally was very valuable. If you're going through anything similar, please do ensure you get the correct support and advice. In the meantime, thanks to Jen, and we'll be back shortly.